Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, the great I am. Lord, as we go into your word this morning, it is the word of the living God. And Lord, in ourselves, we are inadequate. Far, Lord, because of our limitations as men. So we look to you for fresh mercy and unction from your throne, under the covering of our fathers, under the lordship of Jesus. And Lord, you have mercy upon me. Let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it bring revelation, insight. Let it bring strength and encouragement. Let it bring hope. Lord, let it enable us to run with patience this race that is set before us in the name of Jesus. As we pray, O God, under the covering of our fathers, let yokes be broken. Let weights be removed. Let blind eyes be opened. Thrust us further. Take us higher in your presence in the name of Jesus. That an eternal work will be wrought in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds more illuminated with the revelation insight that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we will become more like you because we have been in your presence in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy. Mercy upon me, upon my brethren, to hear and to speak and to receive your word, so that, Lord, this word will profit us. Help me to be concise and to be precise, redeeming the time and not saying unnecessary things, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth things new and old out of the deep treasure of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's great to be in the house of God. And before we go into the word once again this morning, it's not religion. I'd like to give honor to our fathers, pastor and mommy, for their great example, their steadfast love, their heart that is large enough for all of us, keeps giving us chance and chance again, their gentleness that is making us great, their ministry of intercession and the ministry of the word, that sacrifice that is transforming us and making us more like Jesus. I'm sure you see more of Jesus in you. And we thank God for that, because day by day, they are the channel that God is using to be a blessing to us. Amen. And we honor them. We love you, sir. We truly appreciate you. And we pray that you will see the travail of your soul in your lives, in your entire household, and you will be satisfied in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to the word this morning. We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And just a brief, quick recap, you would see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 that we did the last time we were here, we saw that God wants us to understand that born-again Christians are in union with Him. So even when we die physically, that union is maintained. Our soul, our spirit is in union with God. And so when a Christian dies, you know, that Christian, the spirit is separated from the body. We saw that last week, you know, is separated from the body, and the spirit goes up to God while the body remains on the earth. Okay, and that's why he used the term concerning them that sleep, because they are not dead, they are alive, because God is life and they are in connection with God. And this is the foundational truth. The resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday gives every single Christian, every child of God, a hope that our bodies are going to be translated from being a mere mortal physical body to become an eternal body, being transformed by the power of God after we have been judged. That's what the resurrection means. It means a transition from one state, a mortal physical state, to an eternal state, whether spiritual, if the person is heaven, or physical, if the person is on earth, or that, what we call the rapture. And is that, and that state reflects the reward that person has obtained. There are different types of body. And I'm sure if you attend Foundation of Faith classes, you see this broken down. So that is the hope of the Christian. Death doesn't have any hold over us because Jesus has broken the power of death. Amen. And so we are supposed to live above the fear of death. And we saw that last week. God wants to remove that fear. And he does that by filling our hearts, filling our soul, filling our body with the very love of God. God is love, and perfect love casts out fear. And that's how God really wants us to live our lives without fear. And we saw in our last lesson when we were here, you know, that this is the case. And God wants us to hold on to this picture, this hope, you know, and use it to encourage ourselves. So when brethren go and they departed, like Pastor always says at funerals, it's like they went on a long journey. And we're going to see them again. Amen? So this is supposed to spur us on. You know, and Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning. So, you know, it spurs you on that, okay, so this is where they ended, because now they've joined the cloud of witnesses and they're urging us on, move on. No, sidestep that. Don't fall for that. You know, move on and do better than I did, because that's the idea, is to get to the finish line. It's a race, and the baton is being passed from generation to generation. And when soldiers die, we keep moving on. We don't look to see, and of course, we're human beings. So sometimes there's a tendency to want to look back, but immediately you acknowledge God and ask God to help, and you look back forward, and we keep pressing on to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. It also means that we should intercede for our loved ones and the people around us to make sure that at the time they die, as much as lies within us, they die in union with God, so that there is a hope for them as well. Amen? We also saw in our last lesson that there is the glory of the resurrection and the order of resurrection. And, you know, the order means the timing, when a person is resurrected, you know, and the glory means that there's one glory depending on how much the person has sown into the body. Bible says light is sown for the righteous. Psalm 97 verse 11. You know, so light is sown. You sow, the more life you pump into your body, the more light you are sowing. And the more light you're going to reap. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over in Jesus' name. That's the will of God. And that's the plan of God. And that's why he wrote that. Because the Thessalonian church was a church in persecution. It was a church in tribulation. And no, it was like, look, you're in a war, and the tribulation is supposed to take you closer to the purpose of God and not to drag you back in offense and bitterness and sorrow and all that. Okay. And now we also saw by Revelation from verse 15 to 18 that the apostle describes the rapture, the catching away that is reserved for the glorious Zion church. We explained that last week, that it's not for the whole church. It's for Christians who are alive and remain. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15 and 17. You see, he says it twice. That's two for witness. Verse 15, he says, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto God shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 17, God doesn't repeat himself. He is saying it for emphasis. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So what is God saying? When a person is alive, it means that there is a condition to be able to make this order. You know, there are three orders. We saw that last week. We saw Christ the first fruits. We saw that, you know, that's in Matthew 27, verse 53. You saw when Jesus Christ was when he died and was resurrected, the Bible says that graves were opened. And many of the saints that were dead were walking around Jerusalem. Verse 52 and 53, we don't have time to turn there. It's just a recap, you know, but you can check it. You know, so and there were saints moving around. So they qualified to rise with Christ at that time. And the next batch is what you and I are going to make in Jesus' name. What is that? You know, them that are Christ at his coming. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23 and all that. So we're not going to go back there, you know, but it's just to emphasize. But the key here is there is a condition. Alive. And let's say it together, alive and remain. One more time, alive and remain. What does it mean to be alive? It means to be alive in Christ. It means that you are in Christ. The Bible says, Romans 6:11 says, they which are alive in Christ. So you are born again Christian. That's alive. Now, remain means that you remain fruitful in Christ. You are bringing forth more and more of the fruit of divine love. That is what makes you remain. So you're not just a Christian. If you look at John 15, we're not going to really turn there. No, John 15. Just give me verse 4 and 5 quickly. Let's just look at John 15, 4 and 5. Just Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Next verse. I am the vine. Let's say that I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 8. Jump to verse 8 quickly. 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my... This particular rapture is for disciples. It's for people that are living in the discipline of Christ. And that's what he says there. Okay, and you see this truth replicated all over the Bible. Just quickly, it's the story of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. They were all virgins. It means that there was a lamp. Everybody had a lamp. But those that were putting oil in their vessel were the ones that went in with the bridegroom. The same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 11, verse 10 and 11. Let's look at that. It says, for so, that thank you. Verse 10. Give it to me, verse 10. Now, you are really in the spirit today. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give what? Diligence to make your calling and election sure. So, if you don't give diligence, you won't make it sure. You make it sure in Jesus' name. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so, an entrance is ministered unto you. All right? So, that's the will of God. And we're going to make it in Jesus' name. Because we're going to grow in diligence, so that's what we said, and so we saw that those that are dead will be, first of all, we would not go before them. They would first be resurrected, and then we also will be caught up in the twinkling. As we are going up, you'll be changing in Jesus' name. Just change. Now, like Bible says, the 1 Corinthians 15:52. All right. It's also important to mention that there's a present tense application to this truth. You know, because there's a prophetic voice trumpet in the earth right now that is preparing wise virgins all over the earth to prepare to enter into the fullness and the glory of Christ. Look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. That's very important because this truth, he's speaking futuristically, you know, to show us that this is available. Notice that Paul preached this to all the, he used the term we for all the Thessalonian brethren. Meaning that it's available to all. God's not the one that says, oh, you will go down, you will not go. No. It's open to all. But the people that are, make sure that they give the diligence to be alive and remain are the ones that make it. And we're going to do that in Jesus' name. All right, Malachi 4:5. Say, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he does, and that ministry is already in the earth. To turn that, it's the same spirit that came in John the Baptist. Anytime there's going to be a dimension of Christ in his fullness and glory, there's always a John the Baptist ministry, you know, and it's the same, that's the same spirit that was on John the Baptist, the spirit, and he was supposed to walk in the spirit and the power of Elijah. All right, so we see that spirit is in the earth as we speak, and it's been here for decades, really, you know, about 25 years. I mean, from what we've been hearing in this church over time, almost 30 years, really, you know, this God has been preparing. So because now the manifestation is imminent, and that's what God is doing. Right, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, by the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's start. Let's read together. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Next verse. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Next verse. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. That is unexpected. And they shall not escape. This is not your portion in Jesus' name. But you need to know what to do to not to be part of these people. Next verse. But ye brethren, if you are part of this, shout it. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Next verse. Ye are all the children of light. How many children of light am I seeing here? Hands up. All right, let's say it together. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Next verse. Therefore, Because we are not of the night. When do we sleep? In the night. So we are not of the night, we are of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. There is a church that is sleeping. But let us watch and be sober. All right, let's see how far God helps us. And let's go. So what is God saying to us here? He's saying that the apostle is telling us that God moves in times and seasons. That's how he is. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, to every purpose there is a time and a season to everything under the sun. Okay, I'm not quoting it. It says, okay, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. So as long as you're under heaven and you're with God, you must understand that he does this in times and seasons. And it goes through a long gamut to tell us that there's a time for everything. All right, so what is he saying? He expects us to know perfectly. Perfectly, really, as Pastor has taught us over and over again. I'm not sharing anything new. Everything I'm sharing with you is what Pastor has shared with us. I'm just trusting God that it's fresh. Amen. All right, from the throne of God. And it's going to be a blessing to you, present tense application. Amen. Right. But everything Pastor has taught us so detailed and so beautifully. All right, so what is he saying here? That God wants us to know completely. Completely. That this is the purpose of God for us at this time. We must know the times and seasons so we know exactly what God is doing at each point in time and we can align ourselves with it. That is the will of God for us. So that's epignosis. Is the precise, exact, complete knowledge of the way of what God is doing and at what time he's doing it. You see, the sons of Issachar that is typified in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 32, there were three things. They had understanding of the times. They knew what God wanted to do, and then they knew how God wanted to do it. This is an apostolic prophetic leadership in the church. And if you ignore them, you ignore them at your own peril. You ignore them to your own peril. You will not ignore them in Jesus' name. So it's important for us as Christians to, in order not to be sleeping, we must listen to the prophetic cry that comes at midnight. Because there is a midnight time, and they will cry at that time because they don't sleep. They are watching, they are in fellowship and communion and union with God. So God doesn't do anything on earth except he tells them. And once he tells them, they declare it. And when you dare, you're supposed to hear, not just with the physical ears, but with the ears of your spirit. And act, be determined to act upon it. That's how to respond, you know, when they speak. So we must recognize and then follow. Because there are watchmen that cry at God's appointed time. And the aim is to wake up the church. But some people deliberately ignore them. So it's not that they didn't hear. It is that they don't want to hear. So they hear, but you know when you call someone's name and you are sure the person heard you, and the person prays as if he didn't hear you. Why are you doing as if you didn't hear me? But because God is a spirit, and when he says people don't hear. When he says, but I'm calling you, you are turning your back now. They don't hear because they don't want to hear because of the state of their heart. Amen. That's not the will of God for us, okay? And then they keep sleeping spiritually. What does that mean, to sleep spiritually? It means that you live your life oblivious of the purpose of God. So you're not emphasizing on what God is emphasizing. So even though you are living your life for God, you're coming to church, you are believing the Lord your God, so you're being established, but you're not believing his prophets, so you're not prospering in the purpose of God. 2 Corinthians 20:20 is very important to see that. We need to believe the Lord and we need to believe his prophets. Because without the prophet, you're not going to get into the promised land. The amen was just a few pastors. Without the prophet, you're not going to enter the promised land. But then you say amen or not, like Pastor said, it's true. Amen. We will enter the promised land in Jesus' name. Amen. But you know, if you look at the example, that's why God wrote it for the example of the Israelites. If they didn't follow Moses, even if they were following Moses and they were taking their time of following, the Bible says, when the cloud moves, they took their time. If you look at Deuteronomy, I'm not going to turn there for time, 25:17. Bible says, those that were at the back, the hindmost, they were smitten by Amalek. God came back to judge them. He came back to judge Amalek for what they did, but they had done it anyway. You will not be a casualty in Jesus' name. We will not be casualty in this name, in Jesus' name. We will stand and stay where God wants us to stay, alive and remain. That's your portion. Amen. All right, that's the will of God for us. So rather we follow. So there's a way you follow. There's and that's what God wants us to do. Okay? Now he goes on in verse 2. Right. For yourselves know perfect that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, Pastor has told us this many times. What is the day of the Lord? Now, the day of the Lord, you know, the Bible says the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Let's look at that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Right, let's read it together. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Look at Psalm 90, verse 4. Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, a day, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. All right, so it's called time dilation. Okay, all right. So God can do what He wants to do. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So He can do what He wants to do in one day. He can spread out over 1,000. You know, same God. What He was supposed to do in one day to kill the Israelites, He spread over 40 years. Spread out. All right. The same way He can do it over 1,000. He can go as far as 1,000 years. Right, so and when he talks about the day of the Lord is 1,000-year period, okay? And if you're counting from Adam, it's the seventh day. If you're counting from Christ, it is the third day. So, but either way, you know, it is a 1,000-year period. It is not one 24-hour day, okay? That's what he's saying, all right? And that day is a special day. Look at Hosea chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. It's a special day. That's why he's saying that you know perfectly that we are in the day of the Lord. Let's read it together. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Thank you. After 2 days, he will revive us, quicken us, give us what? Give us what? But we already have life. We already have life. We have life in our spirits, but wants to give us life in our soul and in our body. That's what he's saying. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Verse 3. Yes. Say yes. Let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. This is the time. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn. And it will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Amen. This is the prophetic truth that is being fulfilled as we speak. So it's the day. This is what God wants to do in this day. He wants to raise up a triumphant, victorious church. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 8 to 11. Give it to me also in the Amplified so you can understand. Thank you. Let's read it together. This mention of a rest was not a reference to their entering into Canaan. He's explaining to us. For if Joshua had given them rest, he didn't conquer all the land. If he had given them rest, he, God, would not speak afterward about another day. Joshua was not in that day. Bible says, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures. And the third day, I shall be perfected. Luke 13:32. So he's talking here about that there was another day. Futuristic. Next verse. Go back to Hebrews. Stay in Hebrews. Thank you. Hebrews 4:9 now. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So there's a place of rest. Just like God rested on the seventh day, you're going to rest. You two are going to rest in Jesus' name. Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. So then, there is awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. So it means that there's some people of God that say that they're people of God, but they're not true. That's what he's telling you. Next, you're not there in Jesus' name, but he's telling you that is what's going on. For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors, just as God rested from those labors peculiarly his own. Next verse. Let us therefore be what? Zealous. And what? Exert ourselves in travail, in watching and praying. Good morning, Jesus. Not sleeping. And strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. We will not fall in Jesus' name. So what is the rest? He's saying that the day of the Lord is the day where God is raising up a church that will live in his sight in total rest. Rest is the state where all the resistance and the opposition that is created by the sin nature is totally removed. That's the state of rest. So that church is operating in perfection with maturity. Manifesting perfection with maturity. The same way Jesus was manifesting the glory of God. There is a church on the earth that is going to demonstrate that glory, even the glory of Christ. And that's what he's speaking about prophetically in the scriptures. Amen? And he's saying the day of the Lord. Okay? So, and you know that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, he said, let us therefore, having these promises, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It means that it is possible, it is available, and you're going to be part of people that will take advantage of it. Amen? Right, and he said, how is this rest going to come? He says, there is going to be a latter rain, a heavy rain. You know, the former rain or the early rain in the agricultural calendar is the rain that softens the ground so you can plant. The latter rain is the one that ripens the fruit so you can harvest. Amen. Now, that latter rain must come and help us prepare the fruit. What is the rain? It's the rain of teaching. My doctrine shall distill as the rain. Amen. So it's the reign of precise, exact, complete knowledge teaching about healing, about deliverance, about obedience, about the fear of the Lord, about humility, about different things. And as you listen to the teaching from the apostolic fathers and prophetic fathers, and you act on the instructions, you enter into the experience. Everybody say experience. It's not knowledge. It's experience of that rest. So that you become more and more and more like Christ. That is the will of God. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Colossians 1, 27, 28. Yes. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Say Christ in me. Christ in me. The hope of glory. When God sees Christ in you in the fullness, he releases glory. The spirit without measure. Amen. And it's that spirit without measure that we now need to then fulfill all that God has asked us to. That is when we have the equipment to fulfill your destiny. So Bible says we labor to enter into that rest. Because when we get there, whatever you lose is like the pearl of great price. Whatever you have given up on the way to get that rest, God gives it back to you. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together and run over. He restores the years that the locusts and caterpillars have taken. And you get back, you like Joseph, he will give you Manasseh. You will forget all your labor. Forget you, because the Bible says the suffering cannot compare to the glory that shall be revealed. So the suffering of self-denial, obedience, you know, doing things God's way, you know, waiting when God says wait, you know, fasting when God says fast, you know, obeying. There is a payday. That's what he's saying. That there is a payday. And that all that is going on in the day of the Lord, that 1,000-year period. And there are 7 events in that day, but this is the first event that must precipitate all the others. And then one thing just leads to the other. It's like a cascade reaction. You know, but this first one is the one that we must get rolling and make sure that it works out. So that's the logo. Look at verse 28. Verse 28. Next verse. Colossians 1. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man what? In Christ. So that's why that the rain is wisdom. You are teaching every man, warning every man in all wisdom to present every man perfect. You're going to be perfect in Jesus' name. All right, so it's important to recognize those spiritual fathers and sit under their ministry. You know, they may not necessarily be in the church where you are, and they may be, for example, in the church where we are blessed, amen, to have fathers who are qualified by the grace of God. And you know, you can go, if you look in the Bible, by Luke 6:45, you see the distinguishing features. You know, 2 Corinthians 12:12, you see the features, you know, of spiritual fathers. You know, the deep revelation knowledge that comes from the Word of God, that comes from the holiest of all, that is indicative of a heart of humility. You know, that because that's the first thing, because that's Christ's distinguishing mark. The spirit of Christ, the spirit of humility. And it's that humility that brings the deep wisdom that comes, and then the power of God to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, consistently over time. And then the power to do miracles in your life, to turn the house of the children to the fathers, to make the disobedient obedient. That's the power to change destinies. To set people into the place where they're supposed to be. That is spiritual fathers. They're not many. You know, and that's why you have to know the signs and not know the real signs from according to the Word of God. All right. And we know that the Bible says that evening and morning are the first day. The day of the Lord begins at night. Amen. It begins at night. So this has begun really around zero from year 2000. Because Jesus was born in about 4 BC. So it really began from 1996. From 1995, here in this church, we have been having messages, you know, prophets coming, you know, from around that time, 1992, 3, 4, 5, you know, to come and tell us that this is what God is doing. All right? So you can imagine that the fruit has been developing. It has been ripening all this while. So get on the train, amen? So that by the time the glory comes, God just finishes the work, amen, and you manifest the glory in Jesus' name under covering. So that's what the end of it is, a mature leadership in manifesting perfection with a fully submitted followership. And that's when the scripture will now be fulfilled. Isaiah 8:18. I like the scripture. Let's look at it together. Isaiah 8:18. This scripture is going to be fulfilled. Say, behold, I and the children whom the Lord had given me are for signs and for where? In Israel. From the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. This is Mount Zion Church, not Jerusalem, not Israel. This is the man child, not the woman, not the remnant of her seed. All typology. So, but you can see that this is the Lord. So this is what, just key your faith in here. You don't have to worry about that. Just key your faith here. This is where you are going. Amen. All right, now let's continue. Verse 3 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's instructive that the Holy Spirit should use travail. It should use travail to depict how the judgment will come. One way or the other, you're going to travail. Either you travail to give birth to the Son of God, or you travail in destruction and pain. Either way, you're going to travail. So I choose to believe. And I choose to believe that you will believe in travail. Amen. I'm just saying that now by the help of the Holy Spirit as we're sharing. Okay. So now, what is he saying there? He's saying something very important. As the perfect church is being raised up, the sleeping church is prophesying blessing to themselves and doing miracles. Amen. And they are going about much activity, just the same way as when Noah was preaching. They were giving themselves in marriage, and they're going about all much activity. It's not wrong to marry, please. You know, it just means that you must have your eye on the ball. You must have your eye on the purpose of God. All your decisions, who you marry, must be somebody that can help you in the purpose of God. Amen. Amen. The job you take must not take away from the purpose of God. Amen. The decision you know, so you everything is in that light, so you're not sleeping. Everything is aligned to the purpose of God. Amen. That's the will of God. Now, as the perfect church is being raised up, there is a sleeping church. And that church has chosen to be willfully ignorant of the purpose of God. Therefore, God is saying here that He has allowed, and He will yet allow sudden severe judgment to come to church to wake us up. Because it is a simultaneous thing. A standard is being raised. And a standard is being raised, God is having a legal basis to allow judgment to come. Because judgment must begin at the house of God. It must begin at the house of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Don't worry, brethren. You're not on that side. Amen? You're on the side of the church that is being raised. But we need to take heed to ourselves. And make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. So that we don't... Because God is not a respecter of persons. He hasn't predestinated some people to be there or some people to be here. It is everybody's response that is putting them where they're supposed to be. And your state is dynamic. It's not static. So if you are here now, praise God. Hallelujah. But make sure that you stay there. Pressing deeper there. Amen. That's the will of God. All right. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. But there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. It has been before, it will be again. Are we not seeing it? Yes. Okay. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They brought it upon themselves. Next verse. And many shall follow. The Greek says the majority. You are not there in Jesus' name. But many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Look around you, brethren. Is the way of truth not being evil spoken of? It is because of this. But God has had enough, and he's having enough, and he's had enough. But you know, he's slow to anger. Even with judgment, there is mercy. And that mercy is to help us to escape. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time is being accelerated, lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It's a serious thing, because they are strange children holding back God, holding back the clock, and they have been planted by the devil. Because he knows that once they're there, then he slows down the purpose and slows down the clock. But we're in the harvest time. And God is going to separate the wheat from the tares. Amen. All right. So it's a time of tribulation. And you need to understand that. Now, the tribulation is not meant to destroy. It's meant to perfect. But if you allow the rain to come into your life, it perfects you. Amen. The tribulation still comes. It comes to everybody. But it perfects you when you allow the reign of apostolic and prophetic instruction to perform its work in your heart to produce the Christ. Then you allow it the purpose. So you are just like the ark. The rain and the flood that drowned the people was the rain and the flood that lifted the ark. So get in the ark. Amen. That's what God is saying here. Amen. Look at Jeremiah 30 verse 9, verses 3 to 9. I want to see that God is not... He's not appointing anybody. And it came to pass through the lightness of our whoredom that she defiled the land. As much as all of this is happening in the country that we see. And committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Next verse. Give it to me. Verse. I said Jeremiah chapter 30. Where did you get this? 30 verse 3. In Jesus' name we have life. Amen. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and who? Two of them, everybody, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Next verse. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. So it's both, not preselection. Next verse. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. That is the voice that is coming out. It's the voice of walk with fear and trembling. You need to get yourself together. It's not peace, oh, it's not peace and safety. But they say peace and safety. Because that's what they want to hear. So they get preachers having itching ears. That they get preachers that will tell them what they want to hear. But this is what God is saying. Next verse. Ask ye now, and see whether man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? This is the time. Next verse. Next verse. Alas, for that day is great on one hand and terrible on the other, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So it's tribulation, but there's already a way of escape, has already been prepared. Just take it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. God has come to set us free from infirmities and weights and sins that have been holding us back. You make some progress, they pull you back. God wants to break it, and he's breaking it now. Finally, the Bible says, burst your bonds asunder. Like the Hebrew boys. There was tribulation, there was fire. But did he burn them? No, it was the things that were tying them and holding them that he burnt. The same thing here is the things holding us that God wants to burn if we respond. Amen. Next verse, verse 9. But they shall serve God, they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So the ultimate purpose for the tribulation, the day of Jacob's trouble, is to serve the Lord and to serve the king. Notice you have to serve both. You can't serve the Lord and not serve the king. The king is the one that introduces you formally to the Lord. So that you really know the Lord. Before, you are not qualified to serve the Lord until you serve the king. Samuel served Eli. So there is a kingship after David. There is a priesthood after Samuel. But even look at the Eli priesthood, the order was first serve Eli. Then God said, Samuel. It's the same way. So you can't pick and choose who you're going to serve. This is the will of God. All right? So what is God trying to do here? It's very important that we understand. God is breaking yokes. He in our lives, in our relationships, in our homes, both relationship goes in authority and relationship people around us, our families, okay? And the idea is that we should be properly connected in the church of Jesus Christ to God and the kings and the body. That is very important. That connection is there because when we are connected, we increase with the increase of God in Ephesians 4:16. Because nourishment is ministered through joints and bands. See, and as God is bringing tribulation, and we're responding using the wisdom and instruction of apostolic and prophetic fathers, there's a healing work, so that we are being raised up as a mighty army. That's the will of God, amen. That's the purpose of God, and that's why all this is going on, because that army has a lot of work to do. The whole of creation is waiting for that army. It's waiting for that army. But it's waiting for the mansion of sons of God. So that army, so it's happening simultaneously. As the army is being raised up and has been developed, the same way there's judgment coming on the strange children or the apostate church or the sleeping church, whatever name you prefer to give them, okay? And so it's important to understand that. Now, God has set apostolic fathers as the supply, source of supply. And that's very important for us to understand. We don't get our oil from God directly alone. I mean, we get from God directly, but we'll never get enough because they must supplement whatever we get from God for us to be able to grow the way we're supposed to grow. So if you are not connected to them, you will be doing a lot of things, but you will not be growing at the rate you should, or you not grow at all. And that's not the will of God. It's very important to understand. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. As we begin to round up. John chapter 5, verse 39. It's very important. Say, search the scriptures. For in them, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are there which testify of me. Okay? Verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Life has always been ministered to in sufficient measure through set spiritual paths. What the Bible calls in Zechariah, the two olive trees. Look at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. Very important you understand that. That's a very important truth that we must bring up by the help of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 11 to 13 as we begin to round up. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. No, give it to me. Verse 11, I said. 11. Lord, have mercy. Verse 11. Amen. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 11. Sir? Yeah. From verse 10. 3. Yeah, give me 4 again. 4. Okay, yes, you're actually right. It's 4. Very good. Ah, okay. No. You're right. 4:11. Yes. Then answered I, and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? Next verse. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches? We threw the two golden pipes, emptied the golden oil. Golden oil. You know, life is gold. You know, is amber, is yellow. You know, so he's trying to describe something that is flowing out of them. It's life. Empty out the golden oil out of themselves. Next verse. He says, and he answered and said, knowest thou what this be? And I answered to him, no, my Lord. Next verse. And then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth, the apostle and the prophet. And God has put them all over the earth. He has strategically positioned them all over the earth like that. Amen. And we happen to have here in this house, by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. Let's give God a clap for that. Because that is a great privilege. Amen. So what he's saying, that they say they empty the golden oil. So that golden oil is come. That's why he said previously in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. He said not by power. It's not by might. So you can do some things and try and try and try. But you won't get the result. Except this oil comes to add to what you are doing. By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means by not by power, not by might. It's by the Spirit, but the Spirit is coming through the connection you choose. So it is our responsibility to keep our connection open. Widen it properly. So that the more it's wider, the wider it is, the more oil you get. And then things become easy. And then you gradually enter into rest. And that's the will of God for us. Amen? That's very important. Now, those who get offended in time of tribulation, like John the Baptist, got offended because Jesus didn't come to see him. Wanted to have things his own way. No, insisting on his own terms. It is that church. That church is the one that begins to backslide. The Bible says their love begins to wax cold. And they lose their reward. They lose their reward. Because, you know, if they had responded positively, the reward is waiting for them. For them to respond as gold and silver and precious stones. But they choose to be as wood, hay, and stubble. That's a choice of their own. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're not turning there. But we see that clearly, that the fire comes to everybody, but it purifies the gold, purifies the silver, purifies the precious stones. And then it burns up the wood and burns up the hair and burns up stuff. You will not be woody or stubble in Jesus' name. Amen. But that's the will. It's important that we say that. So let's look at verse, as we move up now, very good, verse 5 and 6, upward quickly. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Next verse. Okay. You are all children of the light. So what is he saying here? He's telling us that as we submit to prophetic and apostolic fathers and practice their instructions, we keep seeing light in their own light. Amen. So we become children of the day. So whether it's day or night, you are seeing what God wants us to see. Amen. So you are a child of light. Psalm 36 verse 9. We are of the day. So we practice. And that's the key here is this. I think that's the emphasis of the Holy Spirit. Then. We know these things. Watching and praying. But God wants us to do it with faith. Faith. Seeing Him that is invisible. Hebrews 11 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we must be awake spiritually. We must see Him that is invisible. Hebrews 11 27. We must see Him that is invisible and fellowship with Him at that level. That's what it means. It's not praying and watching. God corrected me. I used to pray and watch. It's watch and pray. What is watching? Watching is being conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit to acknowledge Him for thanksgiving, for mercy to walk in love, mercy to ask life for others. You know, so you're walking with Him. So He's there in your mind. You consciously practice. Now you may lose it, you walk on it again. Lose it, you walk on it again. That's watching. And anytime you're doing that, it naturally takes you into prayer. And there are three ways we pray. We pray with our thoughts. That's like walking. Then we pray with our words or confession. That is like running. And then we pray with travail. That's like flying. Isaiah 40:31. Pastor told us this years ago. Isaiah 40:31. Amen. Let's look at it. They that wait upon the Lord. Let's say it together. Shall what? Renew their strength. It takes strength to endure in this day. You will survive because you have strength in Jesus' name. But it's telling you that they is like waiting upon the Lord. They shall mount up with wings as they shall run and it shall not be. And they shall walk and they shall not faint. So you see, so if a person is fainting, it means that he's not walking properly. Amen. He's not walking properly. Look at 1 Samuel 30 as we round up. 1 Samuel 30 verse 10. 1 Samuel 30 verse 10. But David pursued. We know the story. The Amalekites came and carried away all their wives and their children, and everybody was distraught and wept, and they blamed David, went to stone him with stones, and David felt very bad, went to the house of God, and said, God, this people want to stone me. Is it me that told them that the Amalekites to come? You know, and feeling very bad, I'm feeling very sorry for himself. But the Bible says that God, in God's presence, David changed his attitude. That's why you have to see Him that is invisible. Change his attitude. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And God deleted whatever I did before. And that's what we read. And said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And look at the response. So God said, David said, should I pursue? God said, pursue. For you surely overtake and recover all. Okay. Now, but David pursued. He and 400 men. For 200 abode behind. Which were so faint, they could not go over the brook Besor. Why were they faint? 600 were supposed to have strength. Why were 200 faint? The brook Besor, the one meaning of the word brook, the Besor there, is cheerful. So they had lost their joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what happened? They were in offense. In spite of everything that David had, the 400 people had said, look, okay, fine. Well, let's go and let's move, put it behind us and let's move forward. But they just couldn't put it behind them. They just didn't want to put it behind them. It's a choice. Thank you, sir. It's a choice. They didn't want to put it behind them. Like, how can he? Should be when we went to fight with Achish. You know, you said we should go. How can God allow both to God and to the king? The attitude was wrong. And so you know what happened? They were faint. Thank God for the mercy of God. Amen. But God doesn't want us to be faint. Amen. Thank God for mercy. Mercy covers you if you are faint. But God is saying, look, get out of the faintness. Amen. How do we do that? No, he says that we must put on the whole armor of love and release the force of love. That force of love, it breaks up into con, just like light through a prism breaks up, it disperses. The same way, the love of God breaks up into love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness. And that it just takes you through. And you turn it around. What the devil thought, it was tribulation. It was meant for evil. But God turned it around for good because of their attitude. That's what God is saying to us today. Our attitude is extremely important. Don't trust your heart. The Bible says, he that trusted in heart is a fool. My heart told me. Do what David said. Copy David. That's what they should have done. Copy David. Do what David said. Obey the instruction David gave. And you will see that force of love, that force of life flow from God through David to you and hold you up. Their own barrel was closed. So whatever was coming from there, what they were doing was not enough. So they started on the journey. They wanted to go, but they could only go so far. They had to stop at the brook. You will go beyond the brook in Jesus' name. But this is the will of God. Brother, what are we saying this morning? We're saying that the will of God is for us to be able to finish our course with joy. Enter into full salvation. Deuteronomy 28 is waiting for us to be fulfilled. Verse 1 to 13. Head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. There is a company that will fulfill it. It's the will of God for us to be strong in the love of God in this day. By being submissive to those in authority over us and obeying the instructions promptly so we can enter in with them beyond the veil. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Repent. Overcome the trap of stagnancy. It's a trap. To remain on the same spot. Check your attitude. Check your diligence. Faith. Let's repent. And ask God for help. You are the Holy One. You are God's chosen Son. Your righteousness is pure. We are complete in you when we submit to truth. Your judgments, they are sure. We desire, O Majesty, that we might live by your decree, establish righteousness in us, that we might live victorious. We desire. Establish righteousness in us, that we might live victorious. Let's raise up our right hand in faith and put our left hand upon our heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me that you desire for me to be righteous, to be victorious, to submit to truth. And so I ask that you help me to be faithful, to by faith see you that is invisible, and be diligent in operating the law of the Spirit of life, to walk in love, to walk in the right attitude toward those in authority, so that nourishment will be ministered to me, giving me strength to endure this evil time. So I will overcome and manifest the character and the glory of Christ under the covering of apostolic and prophetic fathers and in unity with my brethren. In this time of unity, help me to maintain rank with my brethren, so that blessing will be our portion in your church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rabaka santoa, jepeke ko bange de bebedi kanamat. Rabaka tamasataje, jeke ko koko lebebedia. Rabababa, baka koshere. Romamas, rabakare. Rabas, jefredi. Rabakayana, rabasom bengara. Rabaka tamasotobe, jepeke ko bakara. Rene lebedi ko koko deba. Rabaka to sele lebedia. Rom bebedi kanamat. In Jesus' name, amen.